B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, March 5th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM at 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the Checkpoint News Desk with Sarah Skopic. Plus, we know it doesn't have anything to do with video games or esports, but too bad, we're going to talk about the new Game of Thrones trailer for the upcoming season 8. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Dead or Alive 6 has officially launched, and with it comes the Season Pass. However, what has everyone talking is the pass's steep cost of $93.
No.
The DLC pass will give you 2 extra characters and 60 additional costumes in-game.
All right, Season Pass is not allowed to cost more than your game.
You know,
that's the rule.
You know the blinking white guy meme? I just did that. I just literally, like, it was like I got punched in the face with $93 worth of jiggle physics.
But
and that's upsetting.
You already know, man. Them outfits, so many people are going to be turned up on them outfits. All of the body pillows, gang, they in here and they ready.
No. The body pillows, gang.
I was
right, though.
They're ready.
I would have been upset if it was $93 for the game with the season pass.
Please take your vapes and trilbies and keep that to yourself.
Ugh.
Following their layoff of about 8% of their workforce, Activision sent a letter to investors warning them that the layoffs may have additional consequences. Specifically, they highlight a dip in employee morale and production, as well as difficulty hiring and retaining high-quality staff.
Well, I did not see that coming.
No, duh!
Like, where was this report back in November?
Yeah, exactly. You have to send a report or a letter warning of additional consequences to laying off 8% of your staff in the midst of one of your most profitable years of all time.
No, they sent it via snail mail. They only just got it.
This to me is the most disrespectful slap in the face thing that I've ever heard from a game company. And this is post Telltale.
This is an insane show of disrespect. 800 people were terminated, and it was like, they had no idea that this would affect
people
morale.
People might not like us for this.
Well, it's literally Activision reaching out and saying, like, hey, we're just set to warn you guys, this might not have the effect that you were all hoping for with the restructuring. Like, there's going to be additional consequences. It's like, where was that discussion before you laid people off?
I just think that, listen, there was like 9 different ways that they could have taken this. Like, there were so many different options here on the table. It didn't have to go down like this, and it's just
the
so
number
disappointing.
One being not giving multiple million dollars to your executives and bonuses.
Exactly, that's exactly it. And it's just, it's not a good look. It's not a good look when you do this, and especially with a consumer base like gamers who are so engaged with the way that the business is conducted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that this stuff does not fly. It's not acceptable anymore. And I think that, you know, the more people talking about it and the more people talking about how absolutely disgusting this kind of behavior is from the top down, I think that, you know, it'll start to happen less and less, hopefully.
Anthem has played host to a number of game-breaking bugs, but a scary one is starting to pick up steam. People are reporting a glitch that is actually crashing not just the game, but the entire console.
The issue
seems to happen more on PS4 than on Xbox. While unconfirmed, at least one report has stated that their console was bricked by the crash.
Hold on.
That is...
This happened on stream when I was playing the demo. On stream.
Last thing, you know, normally we try not to include news that we can't substantiate, at least in some way, but when I saw this one, I'm like, wait a minute, this happened in Norris.
This happened
to
me.
Here's the well, we can substantiate it in the fact that Sony is basically offering refunds to anyone who bought Anthem, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Like, there is something has gone direly wrong if that's the case. So, but I just don't understand how a game ships this unoptimized to consoles. That is absolutely
unconscionable,
mind-blowing.
I've never heard of a game, by the way, that could potentially brick a system.
Oh, no.
Like, make the system crash. Like, it's not good, but I could at least fathom that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of something where a system got broken.
That's
guys,
a new one.
Hey guys,
and that's just reported.
Hey guys,
we don't know that's for
hey
sure.
Hey, guys. This is a AAA game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. EA. BioWare.
Ugh.
In their ongoing pursuit of appeasing the Chinese government, Tencent has instituted age locks on PUBG and PUBG Mobile within China. Players under the age of 13 will either be restricted or barred from playing the game unless a parent or guardian signs them in.
Interesting move.
I'm surprised that wasn't
nothing,
already.
I was going to say, nothing new out of
well,
it.
Well, no, and again, we've seen this kind of technology take place a lot more in places like China than it has here in the West. I'm curious what though has facilitated that. You know, because you would think that. I don't know. Did some kind of like back channel happen to Tencent through the government that PUBG is the problem? Like, we've known that there's been some kind of break in the relationship between the Chinese government and Tencent.
Yeah.
And if they're looking to try to like adjust PUBG, maybe that's the cause.
Maybe. It seems like it'd have to be something more than that, but I don't know, maybe.
One of the most anticipated games of the year will indeed be at E3 this year. CD Projekt Red has confirmed that Cyberpunk 2077 will be at E3, fueling speculation that we'll finally get the release date we've been waiting for.
And of course, Checkpoint XP will be out at E3 2019, so we'll be reporting on everything Cyberpunk 2077 that we can get our hands on.
Oh, the line at that booth, bro.
I know.
I mean, every year there's one game where the line is just, like, terrifying. Like, I remember Smash Ultimate last year. Mm-hmm. The line was terrifying. It's going to be
I like the
Cyberpunk.
Way they did it, though. I like the way they handled the lines for Smash Ultimate.
Yeah.
Star Wars Celebration is coming up in April, and the event will have a game being shown off at it this year. Ahead of its anticipated fall release date, Respawn Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will be available at the event. The celebration runs from April 11th through the 15th, and Jedi Fallen Order is expected to be shown off on Saturday the 13th.
With Respawn being everyone's most recent darling with Apex Legends, mm-hmm. I'm going to be very curious what the reaction is to this. Very, very curious.
I'm ready for a Star Wars game that doesn't disappoint me, and I just don't know if I'm going to get
that. What's the last Star Wars game that didn't suck?
Oh, man.
It's been a minute.
KOTOR?
One of the KOTOR.
Even Tor was a disappointment.
Nah, yeah. KOTOR.
There have also been some headlines going around, too, that they're actually bringing in one of the senior writings from Star Wars The Old Republic for that game as well.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Apex Legends continues to impress, crossing milestones in record time. In its first month, Apex Legends has now amassed 50 million players. Fortnite, which has started as a slow burn before reaching the meteoric heights it has, Apex still has a ways to go before reaching the supposed 200 million players that Fortnite has, but it's on its way.
Bam!
Yeah, you can't ignore it.
50 million players in a month? That's a ridiculous number.
You can't ignore that, man.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Nintendo made headlines last week when they held a Pokemon Direct conference and unveiled the 8th generation of the Pokemon franchise, Pokemon Sword and Shield. I am so excited to play these games. They look gorgeous on the Switch. And, I mean, obviously, we've known that, you know, they were going to have graphics similar to Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu.
Yep.
But I've seen a direct comparison, and it seems like they're going for a bit more of a cel-shaded anime feel with these Gen 8 games. And I gotta say, just in the comparison of the sprites alone from what I've seen, really, really like
it. It does look really good, and I know you guys were definitely into Pokemon for a lot longer than I was, but I did pick up Let's Go Eevee, and like, I'm right back in. Like, I missed playing Pokemon so much.
Well, that's the great thing about the franchise is you understand the concept from the word go, so it's not usually too hard to jump back in, as long as you haven't missed like seven generations all innate.
Yeah, yeah, that's
even
true.
Even if I did, I wouldn't care. I'm getting sword.
But look at how easy I was able to get back into it as well, mm-hmm. and even into the competitive aspect of it. So a couple of really important things that we were able to glean from this trailer. The first is that there was a lot of speculation within the Pokemon community that random battles were going to be completely done away with.
Yeah, that's in favor of Pikachu.
Yeah, in favor of the catch mechanic. And it looks like the random battles are indeed staying, confirmed by this trailer. And what I'm hoping is that we're going to get a hybrid of the two, where you fight the Pokemon first,
and then when
it comes to the catching mechanic,
I'd be perfectly okay with that.
Yes, I don't want to select the ball and then it's just.
However, I think you know maybe the EXP per Pokemon should be buffed a little bit because that's extra time.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure you'd go back to getting the same type of XP that you used to in other games from now, spending more time having to, again, defeat the Pokemon.
Yeah, with that, though, I'm totally okay with random battles. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I'm hoping that, you know, the bank will make a return. We'll be able to, you know, bring all of our Pokemon from previous generations into this, and that the, you know, competitive scene will be able to stay intact.
Would it be a deal breaker for you if they said no bank?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
It would be. Because then it would be a big reset on the competitive scene, and I think that's a big mistake because it's so long lasting. By the way, last thing I got to mention, the Galar region, based off the UK, it's like a steampunk version of the UK, and all of the Scottish female trainer memes are the greatest thing.
That was really funny.
It really is the greatest thing. I like look forward to finding new ones.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've seen them all, and when I find a new one, it's like special. It's like, oh wow, it's a rare female Pokemon trainer meme. This is great. I'm going to add it to my collection.
You gotta catch them all referring to
that. Stop it now. These terrible, terrible puns.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll break down the new Game of Thrones trailer, and there's nothing that corporate can do to stop us.
That's right.
But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
The winner has been declared for I Am Katowice. We'll talk about why nobody is surprised.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender, so glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll break down the new Game of Thrones trailer as long as corporate doesn't fire us first. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
The expectation for IEM Katowice was that Astralis would once again plow through the competition and secure an easy victory. While the team didn't look quite as dominant as they did last year, they did end up taking home first place at the Polish Major. In the end, they carved through surprising Ents Gaming to secure first place and $500,000.
This was not surprising.
I do understand that the arc of the narrative, if you watched it, is a little bit more close, but the outcome is flat out boring.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Is that
the Yankees win again? Oh boy!
Well, yeah, basically.
I mean, Ents Gaming kind of was a shocker to make it there. Like a lot of people were like, "Are they the second best team at this tournament?" I mean, I guess they are because they won the matches. But like, are they going to be able to go up against Astralis? And
the answer is no.
They were not able to. Yeah. I mean, overall, I'll say this: having watched a lot of CS:GO at IEM Katowice, Astralis is extremely good, but That is a fun community to watch. Like, people, huge numbers turning out to watch
that
stuff. Yeah,
that's the thing is that's undeniable is that CSGO is fun to watch. I mean, the player base is almost non-existent at this point. I mean, it's just, it's small. That's what I mean.
It's smaller than it was.
Because people rag on us for not giving CS, for not respecting CSGO, whatever. But that's
it's
the thing.
It's hard to talk about the same team winning every single major.
That's true, but not just that, but it's like, you know, when we're not around a huge major, you don't hear about Counter-Strike. Like, you don't hardly see it making any numbers.
But it's just, it has 8 billion majors. That's the thing.
After years of coming so close, fan favorite Sue finally reached the mountaintop at IEM Katowice. After falling to a 0-2 deficit against his finals opponent Stats, he rallied back for 4 straight wins to take the series and the $150,000 first place prize.
Wow. First major StarCraft event of the year, and I mean, just like with CSGO, the numbers shocked me. I mean, talking, you know, I mean, obviously not what CSGO's pulling in, but, you know, between 30 and 50,000 people tuned in to watch, like, that's healthy.
Do you know what I think is happening? Because we're starting to see that across the board, where viewership of esports is growing across the board. What I think you're starting to see is that you have a lot of people who are hearing, who played these games back in the day, maybe 5-10 years ago,
sure,
and are hearing about these things for the first time. If you're not in the esports loop, or you put the game down for a few years, you may not be in the esports loop.
You know, that's,
and this could welcome you back into a game that you really love.
That's a remarkably good point. I also think that people are starting to get more adventurous when it comes to consuming esports.
Generally accepting of being able to watch more stuff as well.
That too. I mean, you know, of course, you've got diehard fans of the OWL, but I feel like in the off season, a lot of those fans were really jonesing for something to watch and to, you know, put their enthusiasm behind.
It was bad.
So it's sort of like in traditional sports, where, like, now you're in the habit of watching something that you enjoy. You know, you have a lot more general sports fans than you do necessarily fans of one single league.
Well, that's the value too of an event like IEM Katowice, which runs so many different games, is, hey, I had fun watching this game at this event. The event's still going on. It's just a different game. Let's check that one out now.
Yep.
Ratings coming in from Nielsen are good news for Overwatch. We've finally gotten some numbers on the opening weekend viewership for Overwatch League, and they're looking great. Viewership was up 30% over the opening weekend last year. These numbers do take into consideration the league being broadcast on the ESPN app as well as Disney XD.
That's great numbers.
But again, if you show these numbers to, you know, Disney and all everybody else who made their investment into Overwatch League, that says growth to them.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
that's key right there.
At the same time, though, they needed to see this. You can't expand your team by eight, or your league by eight teams, and then not see growth. If your growth is stagnant, that's bad.
That's true.
You need the growth.
Very true.
PUBG Europe League and Starladder are just about ready to get the PEL region underway. Gameplay is officially set to begin on March 21st. In addition, the runners-up at IEM Katowice this year, Ents Gaming, have inked a PUBG team that will be competing in the new region.
Well, that seems fun.
So, yeah, I mean, Nate, you've been following NPL. Are you going to do PEL, too?
You know,
if more people are watching it.
It depends. I mean, yeah, because I think, you know, NPL is getting about 10,000 people between the two Twitch channels that they have. I just need to know what's going on with their live viewership. Why I feel like it's empty every single time I watch it.
It's the scheduling.
I think that's what it is. And we may be at a point where esports in California specifically for live events may be a critical mass in terms of interest. So
maybe.
I don't know. It seems very weird to me to have a league that's that interesting to watch that I feel like I'm the only one that has interest in it.
Come headquarter in Michigan. We got space and it's cold half the year. People will come watch his stuff.
That's very true.
The official League of Legends subreddit is easing up on their rules on user-made content. Specifically, they're lifting their zero-tolerance ban on meme content, allowing for high-quality content to be on the platform.
Only high-quality.
This is important to the content creation community that has for years expressed frustration towards the league over their policies.
Only don't.
With your pinky out, only high-quality meme.
Don't get me started on Reddit, especially right now. I'm so frustrated. Reddit and their policy about self-promotion and how arbitrarily that's applied to some content but not other content is so unbelievably frustrating.
that I've stopped using the platform altogether. I find Reddit to be, I don't know, just not a fun platform to be on. You get more arguments than you get interesting things.
Conversation.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So,
Nike is continuing their push into the world of esports. No longer content with just sponsoring a single team or player, they've now become the official apparel and shoe sponsor of the entire LPL Chinese region for League of Legends.
This is a master stroke for Nike. This is a master stroke, because here's the thing, it's not just about them continuing to involve themselves in esports. They also see esports as an inroad to the Chinese market, the same way they did basketball in the early 2000s. This is something Nike is really again proving, in my opinion, that when it comes to apparel providers and as a brand, they really are still just kind of a step ahead of everybody.
Yeah, they are really forward thinking. I will give them that.
Speaking of esports sponsorships, AT&T is getting in on the act. They've inked their first esports sponsorship, signing Cloud9 to a deal. The deal includes presenting rights to The Nines, a new weekly show Cloud9 is putting out about their 12 teams competing in 10 esports.
I mean, yet another telecom company making that inroads into esports. Definitely seems to be the way of it right now.
I'm definitely interested to check out The Nines. This seems like something that's really interesting, especially if it's being kind of, you know, produced internally, like it's being produced out of a partnership. You get way more access that way than you would trying to knock on doors coming in and, hey, let me, you know, into your operation. Yeah, this is very cool.
Do you think this is the start of sort of like the Hard Knocks of esports?
Could be. 30 for 30? I see it coming out of something like this. For
yeah,
sure.
I'd like that.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. A lot of games had great showings out at IEM Katowice, but one game struggled again under the spotlight. That game was, unfortunately, Fortnite.
Man, they... We keep saying it over and over. They need to get their esports scene like under control and get it figured out. But
that is the
That
may be the understatement of 2019, because for as meteoric a rise as this game had, for as much popularity, for as many people talking about it, for as mainstream a phenomenon as it has been, boy, that really seemed to have driven Epic's ego through the roof on what they can pull off with their esports scene, because they're like, oh, we're Fortnite people, put up with it.
No, here's the problem, is that I continue to view this as something that is so disrespectful and disingenuous to that pro scene, to the players out there that are trying to actually make a career out of this game, not just streaming but competitively. This continues to be a slap in the face to them.
And for those who don't know, season 8 of Fortnite dropped the day before competitive play was set to begin at IEM Katowice, a $500,000 tournament.
Could you imagine if there's a rule change the day before the NFL playoffs?
Yeah, no, a TSM player like spoke out. He's like, great, so happy I practiced all that time on my favorite drop point to have it be patched out right before I got here.
The whole drop point.
And now need to basically come up with an entirely new strategy on the spot.
I think it's really ridiculous that Epic keeps acting in the cavalier manner that they do with their esports scene, because eventually, you can throw as much money at your scene as you want. People will stop putting up with
it. Here's the thing. If Fortnite is going to continue as a very successful brand, it needs to get its esports game together, because that is the sustainability of a lot of games nowadays. And
sure is.
Epic seems to already be getting their esports scene figured out. This... I don't know. I might be reading some tea leaves on this one, guys.
And it wasn't just the fact that, you know, there was a patch drop beforehand. Pros were also complaining of lag issues throughout the event, which, while I'm not going to say every event ran flawlessly, I didn't see huge lag problems in other games, which leads me to believe there might have been some stability issues put in with that patch.
Wow. I mean, talk about frustrating right there. You know, you can't even patch correctly and you get lag issues? Come on.
Anyway, congratulations to TSM Pro Vinny1X, who did win $100,000 for winning the tournament.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you blown away by Epic's cavalier attitude towards their esports scene? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter and checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, it's too late to stop us now. We'll break down the trailer from the newest season of Game of Thrones. That's ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender, so glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel that, by the way, was just on the front page of Twitch over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got a ton of new emotes and even more coming because of the awesome generosity of our listeners, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Earlier today, the long-awaited trailer for the final season of Game of Thrones finally dropped. We know our show is dedicated to esports and video games, but we have to talk about the next upcoming season, the last upcoming
final season of Game of Thrones.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
I can't wait.
It has been the longest drought. Like, think about, like, just a couple shows that have been, we've been without a Marvel movie. We've been without a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
We've been without Stranger Things.
We got no content, bro.
Dude, you're right. Stranger Things.
The only thing we got was some ho-hum seasons for the Marvel series on Netflix.
And after this...
Well, we got Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, that was last June.
It still was a long time. And even after this upcoming feast of content that we have, again, this will be it for Game of Thrones forever.
Yeah.
And we also will have to wait 11 months before the next Marvel movie.
Here's the thing. Okay, and this may not be the most popular thing to say, but I'm kind of ready for Game of Thrones to be over.
It's ending at the right time. That's fair.
It's not that it's overstayed its welcome. It's that, like, if they tried to extend it much longer, I think that my interest in it would have petered out.
It is the right time for this show to end.
It really is.
Like, a few less episodes, but they're all movie length, effectively.
I hated the end of Lost, but I felt that it ended at the right time, because, like, any longer than that, I would have definitely lost interest.
No, I agree. And that's the thing, is that, like, I feel like there are certain shows like ER that ran like 5 seasons too long.
Yes.
And Scrubs. It's just like, yeah, it's only,
oh,
like,
God.
How many medical disasters can happen at one hospital?
I feel that way about shows that I absolutely adore. Archer. I would have watch parties with my friends for Archer for like 4 seasons. And then after that, it started to drag after that.
Yeah. So Game of Thrones is back April 14th.
Yes.
The trailer dropped today.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, okay.
Like, I don't, I'm struggling with where to begin with this. Like, cause there was not a lot revealed that we weren't expecting.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think a good place to start is with, cause there is at least one thing in there that does fill in a big question mark. And that was, did anyone survive the crumbling of the wall?
Yeah, we do see both Beric and Tormund.
Mm-hmm.
So they did survive the wall crumbling.
Beric is cheat codes, bro.
Well, literally, like,
literally cheat codes. Tormund, I'm so happy Tormund survived.
Yes.
For so now.
Tormund is my favorite character.
Oh,
Tormund's great.
Tormund's amazing.
He's awesome.
I like that. What the commercials that he got picked up for doing?
The Wyndham.
Yeah, the Wyndham. Yeah. When we went to Vegas and saw him on the wall, we're like, Tormund.
Here's the thing: is that, like, you know, he's got this sort of, like, you know, like, he's got the perfect wildling face.
Yeah.
Because, like, even when he smiles, like, for the...
He looks kind of deranged.
It's kind of psychotic, like, yeah.
But are you going to hurt
suit?
Me?
But
yeah, he's in a
suit.
Yeah, it's very weird. But, like, honestly, his relationship with Brienne of Tarth
hilarious.
Is probably my...
We're going to have giant babies or something like that.
I'm not like one of those people like, oh yeah, I ship those characters.
Yeah,
but that's what you're doing.
When the first time they interacted and he's just like staring at her, I'm like, this has to, that now my interest in this series,
that's your head cannon,
is solely revolving around when Tormund and Brienne of Tarth are getting together. That's the only thing I want in my life.
So we also saw
that's literally the definition of shipping.
That's shipping.
Okay, yeah. So
we also saw that Jaime has successfully made it to the north.
I'm telling you, Jaime's surviving. I mean,
not a surprise at all, but it is funny because his actor Nikolai Walder Costo, yeah. He said, I tell you what, I was worried I was going to open up the script and find out that I was just killed by some Northman on the way up the road. Like, that was my major concern, as I was never going to make it.
Well, and wasn't there was a scene in the trailer, too, where he says something about, I fight for the living.
I fight for the living.
He said, I promise to fight for the living. So, yes. I intend to upkeep that promise.
So, you know, at some point, he's going to be at the mercy of the North, right?
Of John and Danny.
And he has to convince him, like you need me.
I'm here to fight for the living.
He has to, okay, so he has to convince the uncle brother of a little boy he pushed out the window and the daughter of a guy he stabbed in the back that he was sworn to protect.
Yeah. Now, the good news is that John seems pretty willing to forgive if you're willing to fight the ice zombies.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Remarkably willing to forgive.
And Danny doesn't seem to really give a shit about people who really wronged her father, because her father's a madman anyway.
He was a dick.
Now, the question with Jaime is he going to rat out Cersei? Because he's going to have two choices. He's either going to get up there and say, nope, Cersei will be sending your armies, and lying, or
he's
going to
be like,
nope,
don't depend
actually
on
the
that.
Golden Company's coming, and you guys are all screwed even once you
Which,
win.
By the way, something else that I really appreciated about the trailer was the way that they ended up on Cersei when they were talking about, you know, this foe doesn't tire, doesn't stop, and is coming. And then lands on Cersei.
That was pretty good.
One of the first shots of the trailer we see is Euron Greyjoy ferrying the Golden Company across from Essos. I first thought Cersei, there's no way she survives. I really am kind of thinking she ends up on the throne.
Really?
At the end of it now.
I think
she's going to screw everyone over and she's going to win.
This is what I think. I think the Golden Company land in, you know, somewhere in the north on the East Coast, and they see the wall is no longer there. They're coming in, ain't no more wall.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait a minute.
There's supposed to be an ice wall there. I know it's there.
Euron will say that because the Golden Company, they're
right. House Greyjoy's like,
They're like, wait a minute. And then they land, and half of them just get took out instantly. This will be episode one.
Well, okay, so you think I can see that. So
that's a hell of an opening.
So they're not going to land in King's Landing to reinforce there. They're going to actually go try to like wipe out Winterfell with the Golden Company, and they're going to get there and get run over by
and
ice
get
zombies,
wrecked.
Dude. That's going to be awful, because then the Golden Company is going to get turned into ice zombies, and they're going to have that many more people.
That's
Winterfell.
The point.
God.
Hey, wait a minute. We also heard that that this battle, the final battle, is going to be on larger than even Helm's Deep was in Lord of the Rings. There's
allegedly
where your ice zombie army comes from.
And I understood that. Like, it's just like, you think about the scale of Helm's Deep, and then you just think about the scale of Game of Thrones, and it doesn't quite measure up, right?
No, like Game of Thrones is skirmishes.
Right, well, and you had an entire movie and a half of Saruman's machinations to be able to build that army. The ice zombie army has basically been 99% of it has been called off screen.
Yeah.
We've seen like two instances where, you know,
you kind of get a sense of their numbers.
Right. Like
right.
Hard home
on the wall.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it. And now, you know, like now we're really going to have a sense of the scale of it. And I think that is going to be what is really terrifying. And you're right. Like having such a crazy person as Cersei on the throne in this pivotal of a moment, I really don't know what she's going to do.
Here's the funny thing.
Cause until she's confronted with it, even when she was confronted with it,
saw the white was brought to her.
Well,
she was
a single
still like
one. Joe, what I'd like to add on to your idea that if Cersei does win, first of all, I don't think there's going to be a winner.
I don't think there is a throne after this.
She may get the throne, but Norris is right. Because she's so concerned with getting the throne, it f*** everybody in the north. That means that the zombies are going to keep coming south. She'll get the throne in the end, but it ain't going to be a throne there for much longer.
Oh, man. Now, that would be a really dark ending. Everyone dies.
Everyone dies, and it just...
It's the end of Ava ending.
Yep. And Cersei basically gets what she wants in spite of herself, though.
There's like 10 Dothraki still alive on Essos, and that's about it.
I don't think everyone dies, but I think there is a massive reckoning. Because, like, to me, right, somebody like Littlefinger, I don't think Littlefinger really actually wanted to ever be king. I think his whole thing, and even to a certain extent, Varys' thing, it was two sides of the same coin. I think they both wanted to see the monarchy itself destroyed.
Could be.
Maybe not necessarily millions and millions of people, but I think at the end of this, there will be no throne to fight over.
I think that that's an interesting take, and I think that you can draw a lot of really interesting parallels between that and sort of our contemporary society, where everyone's got a cause that they fly a banner for, that they try to ride or die for, and we all sit here and we squabble about the small shit while the big shit is off in the distance, like the big meteor is ready to come and wipe us all out, and we're too busy worrying about, you know, like plastic rings in the ocean. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's,
that's part of the big
problem. That's the message, because I mean, you know, when you think about it, like, this could be the full arc of this could be, you know, the start of whatever, you know, like the continent could be completely ruled by the white.
It's an extinction level event.
Well, on that continent, there are multiple continents in the world, right? And there's nothing that says that it would necessarily spread. But I mean, like, you know, you look at a kind of like diametrically opposed world, like would come from World of Warcraft, and you get the Horde over here, you have the Alliance over here. Well, that's how this happens is that you have a complete domination and subjugation of an entire, you know,
continent
by one
faction.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. Faction, monsters, whatever you want to call it, but by one faction, and that's how it happens. And now suddenly you have this diametrically opposed planet where you've got the remaining humans over here in what's the other
Essos?
And you've got the white that has basically taken over the main continent.
I love your allegory or your theory on what Game of Thrones is an allegory for.
Global warming.
Here's the problem.
Well, no,
Game of Thrones is actually an allegory for is football. That's all George cares about.
Yeah.
It's about football. And if you don't think that the White Walkers are the Patriots and their f***ing dynasty of winning Super Bowls, you're kidding yourself.
They are the Patriots.
Because it is him saying us teams need to band together against the Patriots, otherwise we're never going to win.
The Night's King is Belichick and the Ice Dragon is Brady.
You got it.
This is insane. I've never heard this theory.
George R. R. Martin is a humongous football fan. He has admitted on many occasions that the sigils and the colors and the banners are always his favorite football teams and favorite superheroes.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Wow.
I could see superheroes, but wow.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of the Jets.
But, one last thing, even reminding me in the chat, Axis Raw, saying, what do you guys think Arya is running from in the trailer? Zombies, duh.
Well, I mean, there's so many different possibilities.
I wonder who she's getting ready to kill. Whose face does she want?
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious about.
I do know that from that trailer, like, Jorah's dead, Grey Worm's dead. Who else?
Well, you see both Grey Worm and Jorah in that
trailer. They're getting ready to fight.
As they're about to die,
probably. And they're going to die.
Yeah. I mean, there was no way Jorah was ever going to make it to the end. As much as I love Jorah Mormont, he's amazing.
He's
I love
great.
all the Mormonts.
What are you talking about? Jorah Mormont is the simp of all simps, bro. Jorah Mormont could have been chilling over in Essos, kicking it, bro, in Marine or something, having a blast. But no, he's all caught up on Dany, who I'm never going to get him a shot, bro.
Damn.
It's
gotta be like
true.
That,
she's
huh?
too busy trying to nail family.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them, bro. She wasn't even hitting family. She was getting hit by Dario.
Oh, yeah.
Dollar Store Dario.
Oh, yeah, that
guy. Who was significantly less charismatic than the first Dario.
Than the first guy. Oh, my God. That was one of the really sad actor replacements where it was just like, that is not even remotely the same person.
I hope we get to see the Lady of Bear Isle again this season.
Oh, yeah.
She's great.
Lady Mormont.
We're going to get to see her, like, now she'll be, like, 16. She's gonna be like, yeah, a teenager. She's gonna be a badass.
She's down to.
Yeah.
I want to see her, but she
shut your mouth.
No, hold on. But you know what she's doing? She's leading her troops into the fucking fray.
So, yo, as like a 12-year-old.
She's at
the front. That would be ill. That would be so ill.
Did we see Bran?
Yeah.
No,
in the trailer?
I don't think we did.
I think we heard his voice.
Oh, did really?
I don't think we did.
I have a question. I have a question for you guys that I saw pop up.
Something else I saw that
I saw pop up on Twitter. So first, let me ask you this. How exactly does warging work? Because he's warged into quite a few different things. All right.
So in the books, this is how warging is literally spirit jumping.
Yeah, and you inhabit the body of something else.
You inhabit the body of something else. The show kind of does a pretty great job at what it first looked like. Like when he warged into Hodor the first time.
Right.
That's pretty much how the book really describes it. He says how f***ed up it feels to
do that.
Now, what do you think
the possibilities are of him at some point attempting to or warging into any of the dragons?
No, if anything, I think Bran wargs into the Night's King.
Bran's busy doing time travel stuff. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. If they defeat the White Walkers, it will be because of Bran. It's the only logical ending for a victory. It's like they've built that up for 7 seasons.
That's true. Yeah, because he's the mystical savior.
Bran's been the most important piece to this whole.
Probably. Right, he's been on the hero's journey, kind of in the background throughout the whole show.
That's a very
good
point.
So if they do stop the White Walkers, it will be because of him.
See, now I like the other theory that because if you look at Bran and then you look at the Night King.
A lot of similarities
between the two, and there's a lot of theories out there that whatever he's doing in time ends up leading to him becoming the Night King.
Yeah,
and I love that because that's sort of like an interesting poetic twist of like, you know, despite everything that you do, you end up creating yourself as the villain.
I like the theory that the White King knew how to destroy the wall because Bran at some point built the wall. And it's him.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, because everything that was built is done by somebody called Bran the Builder.
Like, whom the maesters agree definitely could not have built all of those things.
Been the same person because Bran the Builder built the wall, built Winterfell, built Storm's End, built.
The Eyrie.
Yep. Built a whole bunch of shit that's not possible for one person to have built all that themselves. So I think what happens is that we see Bran understanding that the White Walkers invading is inevitable.
Yeah.
Creates these things in order to best hold them off until they get to a crux where if I didn't put this here, they would have got down there a day earlier.
It funnels them in just the right way that it gives people a chance.
He's Doctor Strange, basically.
Yeah.
And that he funnels everything into the exact, you know, probability, you know, the exact conditions for victory.
So there was a theory that the reason, because Winterfell is famous for having like steam plumbing and heat.
Yeah.
There was a theory for a long time that there were lots of dragon eggs underneath Winterfell, that a dragon had roosted there and laid all of its eggs there.
Yeah.
And so that Dany and Jon being there might unleash an army of dragons on the White Walkers, and that's how they could go to.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I've heard that.
Because Winterfell is like the first of the big battles. Like, Winterfell is...
Winterfell's going to fall.
Winterfell's done.
But I do think that there is some additional significance because we've heard about, like, the ice dragon that was supposedly... I think it was, like, frozen under the lake that Winterfell's built, like, adjacent to.
Mm-hmm.
And that those were, like, the hot springs. It was, like, it was the heat from the dragon that's under there that you know...
Powers makes Winterfell,
the
hot, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes them hot.
If there's a bunch of eggs down there, they're not going to hatch and grow quick enough to be of any
use. No. I think that would be a dumb plot point.
But we actually don't have any idea how long a period of time this season is going to take up.
That's true, too.
We have no clue. Like, we know it's only a few episodes, but, I mean, there could be a significant time jump between each one.
As a matter of fact, there was... That would seem like cheap storytelling,
though.
No, but that was the main thing people were talking about the last season. about how, like, wait a minute, people are going from the Winterfell to the Wall to South to back.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Yeah. Wasn't there that whole big Varus has teleportation ability?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
But, you know, so there's that whole thing. They're not afraid to, you know, time skip a little bit in the interest of
that's
concise
true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
story. So
that's God, there's true. So much to wrap up. We got to see what's going to happen to Gendry. We got to see, is Theon ever going to not suck again?
Remind me, who's Gendry?
Gendry's the guy who was rowing for 3 seasons,
oh,
as
right,
far
right,
as
right,
we
right.
know.
Yes,
came back with a fat, hammer like
fat,
King
fat,
Boy.
Yeah, Fat King's real son.
We do see him in the trailer smithing. He's smithing the obsidian weapons.
Oh.
We do see him in there.
Which, that is his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
That is his purpose.
Yeah. I do feel like there are enough players on the board left where it's like each character has a singular purpose to fulfill in this season, and that's pretty much it.
Except for
like Danny and Jon.
The main players.
Yeah, exactly.
The main players. Exactly. I'm interested to see where Sansa ends up at the end of this and where Arya ends up at the end of this.
I'm way more...
We just did like 20 minutes on Game of Thrones without saying the word Tyrion once.
That's true.
Impressive.
That's true. Oh man, Tyrion.
Last we saw, he was looking very concerned.
Can't wait.
I can only assume he will continue to look concerned.
I can't wait for Tyrion to come back.
I'm going to make 2 solid predictions on Tyrion.
He's going to drink and he's going to know things?
Yep.
Nailed it.
Damn.
We're going to leave the discussion right there. A little bit of change of pace here on the Checkpoint XP Daily Show. We hope you enjoyed it. But listen, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your Game of Thrones theories. What did you think of the trailer? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we ask our social media followers, if you could spend a day with any gaming personality, who would it be and why? And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.